Chapter 16 of Acts. Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman which was a Jewess, and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were in Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters. For they knew all that his father was a Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and the elders which were at Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. Now when they had gone through out Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word of Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go to Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, something like that, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is a chief city in the part of Macedonia, and a colony, and we were in the city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath we went out of the city by the river, where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spoke unto the women which resorted there. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened when she attended unto the things which was spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house, abide there." And she constrained us. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us, and cried, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show us the way into salvation." This did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her," and he came out in the same hour. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gain was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them to the marketplace and to the rulers, and brought them to the magistrates, saying, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans." And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who having received such a charge, thrust them to the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises to God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, Do thyself no harm, for we are all here. And when he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in your house." And they spoke to him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all of his, straightway. And when he had brought them to his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. And when it was day, the magistrate sent the sergeants, saying, "Let these men go." And the keeper of the jail, the keeper of the prison, told this saying to Paul, "The magistrates have sent to let you go. Now therefore depart and go in peace." And Paul said to them, "They have beaten us openly, uncondemned, being Romans, and have cast us into prison. And now do they thrust us out privately? Nay, verily, but let them come themselves and fetch us out." And the sergeants told these words to the magistrates, and they feared, when they heard that they were Romans. And they came and besought them and brought them out and desired them to depart out of the city. And when they went out of the prison, they entered into the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed. Now let's go back and see what we got in it. Knowing that this book was written for our learning and our instruction, is that true? We need to know how to apply this in our life. That's what it was all written for. It says, Then he came to Derbe. What does Derbe mean? It's a place of covenant with the skin, or a tanner's place. And Lystra is a place of ransoming. He came to that place of Derbe, covered with the skin, the natural place. And he came to a place of ransoming. And behold, certain disciples there named Timothy, which means what? Dear to God. Correct? And the son of a certain woman, which was a Jew, and believed, but his father was a what? Or a non-Jew. It literally says a non-Jew or a Gentile. And they, what did you say, honey?
A separated house.
Yeah, it's separated. One believed and one didn't believe. Which was well reported of by the brethren which were in Lystra and Iconium. Now, it was well reported that she was married to someone who was not a believer. Well, don't you know that that made a big difference to the way they treated her? Don't you know when someone go to a church, and most churches, if your spouse, whether male or female, whichever way you're going, whether your husband or wife is in the church and one of you is not, don't you know that you're not treated the same as the rest of the people? That's the way the average churches teach it. You're not the same because you're not one in your household. Well, see, my household consists of one man and one woman. Okay, and I'm not talking about my wife sitting over there. I'm talking about Christ and me, the woman, the bride of Christ. That's all that matters. If I am one with Christ, then my household is in order. Correct? That's all he's talking about. And him desired Paul to go forth with him. Paul desired him to go with him, Timothy. And he took and circumcised him because of the Jews. Oh! Paul went and circumcised him because of the Jews. That contradicts what Paul had said earlier. But he let the Jewish people push him. Paul wasn't exactly perfected yet. He compromised just to get them to shut up. Because he know they're like a bunch of magpies, they'll never shut up. They'll just keep picking at you till you do something. Okay? But see, that's where I see a weakness in Paul. He gave in to the religious folk. And there he should say, no. Why should I make this man go through this suffering of being circumcised for no reason? It doesn't make any difference. He said he gave in to the because of the Jews that were in those quarters or in that place, because they knew all that his father was a non-Jew. So to shut him up so he could get Timothy to work with him and people would accept him, he had to circumcise him. Because his father wasn't circumcised, so they think he was a bad person. And we know if we read Paul's writings that a Jew is not one whose circumcision is outward in the flesh, but it's of the heart made by God, not of man. Correct? So these people didn't understand yet. Paul knew better, and that's where he had a weakness. He compromised. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the laws, the decrees or the laws to obey that were ordained or decided by the apostles and elders which are in Jerusalem. Now let me tell you something. What they were doing was still Old Testament. They were still decreeing laws and rules and regulations to the people. When Jesus died and was resurrected, there was a new covenant. And God's just showing you, people are going to, even though they know the truth, they're still going to hold on to pieces of the Old Testament law. And it's the same thing today. They say, I'm saved. Well, if you're saved, won't you act like it? Do you hear what I'm saying? If you act like it, then you don't have to have rules and regulations. Because the only head that I have is Christ. It says Christ is the head of all humanity. If he's my head, then why do I need to have a, quote, covering, like the church says, you have to have a head over you. The church teaches that. See? Anything with two heads ain't natural, is it? And usually anything born with two heads usually dies as a freak of some kind. It's not of God. We don't need two heads. Okay? And it was all the apostles and elders of Jerusalem, see, in the religious capital of the world, that made up these rules and regulations. We should be led by the Spirit of God. Is that true or false? That's true. So why do we need a man to tell us what to do? See, I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to help you and assist you to learn and remember what God has said to you before, to understand a little bit. Not to teach you anything, but to help you remember. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in a daily number. See, here the church is already pointed at an organization. Wrong. It's organized religion starting right here. I'm telling you, it's already started right here. I mean, it's just a matter of a few months or a few years from the time of Jesus' death, and already, what are they doing? They're making organized religion. They still have the law there, see? They're not trusting God to guide them in the whole way. They're saying, well, okay, I know that's right that way, but we still got to do it this way. This way we like to do it here. I've heard that one a lot. We like to do it. I know the Bible says that, but we like to do it this way here. Well, go ahead and do it that way. You just ain't going to hook up with God. That's all. Not in that way. Now, when they had gone through Phrygia, that means dry and barren place, and the region of Galatia, that's all the heathen place, and were forbidden, or not forbidden, but the word literally says prevented by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. They were prevented. God said, don't do it. Just go somewhere else. Leave it alone there. And they were come to Mysia, the land of beech trees. Land of beech trees. They attempted to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit did what? Did not permit them. That's what language says. Did not permit them. They tried to go several places, and the Spirit wouldn't let them go there. And passing by Mysia, came to Troas. That literally means a Trojan. They came to Troas, or the place of a Trojan. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia, and Macedonia is extended land, and prayed, or literally called, didn't say prayed him, or call, it said called to him, saying, come over to Macedonia, the extended land, and help us. We're way out here. Come and help us. Kind of like we're out on a limb. Kind of like them engrafted branches there. The natural branches cut off and the wild branches grafted in. We're out on a limb somewhere, ain't we? And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go to Macedonia, uniting because the Lord had called us to preach the gospel or announce the good news. Now, I guarantee you that when Paul went over to preach the gospel or announce the good news, he didn't say 90% of creation is going to hell. I guarantee you he did not say, if you don't do this, God's going to torment you in hell forever. He took good news to them. And the good news, I don't care how bad you screw up, God's still your Father, and he's going to love you. He's going to correct you, but he's going to get you back. That's what Paul was telling them. That was the good news. I heard someone say back a while back, I was talking to him about this message of reconciliation that the scriptures are full of. And you know what this one person said to me? Said, you're going to love everybody right into hell. So I think you got that wrong. You love them in the end of the spirit. You don't love them into hell. What he was saying was I was giving him something that was going to make him mess up and end up in hell because he still believed in hell. Oh well. Therefore, loosing from Troas, they came with straight course to whatever that word is, Thracia. And it's a sign of rags. They went a straight course to the place. What's a sign of rags? Outcast, poverty. And the next day to Neapolis, and that's a new city. So they went to the place of rags, and the next day they went to another city, a new city. And from there to Philippi, a place a lover of horses or flesh or the beast nature, which is the chief city of the part of Macedonia, and a colony of veterans. Okay? Why would they call it a colony of veterans? It was old soldiers. People that had been Roman soldiers and everything, and they were crippled up and chopped up. You know, they fought with swords and things like that and crippled. They didn't have all the modern medicine we have today, so everybody was limping and hobbled, and it was a place of old people to sit and relax. So he went to all these places, didn't he? Even went to got the old warriors out. That's back under the law, I would say. And we were in that city abiding some days. And on the Sabbath, we went out by the river, out of the city by a riverside, where prayer. Now this word prayer, we keep getting this word prayer all through Scripture. And it's a translation. And you know what the word really says? It's proskuno. It means worship. Isn't that what the word says in there? Proskuno. And it means worship. So as a place to go worship. See, they've interposed one word for another word. We go to... Proskuneo is what I pronounce it. But anyway, they go to do something and they've interposed something, transposed something over top of what God said and make it... We go out there and pray. No, it said go worship. They went to worship God. How do I worship God? In spirit. Then I got to act like it, don't I? I can't worship, go out and pray and say, okay, I've worshiped God today, now I can go do what I want to do. And that's what the churches do. That's what they teach us. It's not true. They went out there to worship where it was a custom to be made, where worship was to be done. And we sat down, spoke to the women that assembled there. Notice it was the women. Didn't say anything about the men, did it? You know why? Because the woman represents what? The soul. And the soul was supposed to be submitted to her man. And the man represented Christ, which was Paul. They're talking to him. And a certain woman named Lydia, and Lydia literally means travail, a seller of purple, the city of Thyatira, and that word Thyatira, it literally means the odor of affliction. That means she's been through a whole tough life, wouldn't you think? Been through the affliction in a place of odor of affliction, which worshipped God. She didn't pray to God. She did what? She worshipped God. That's saying she probably had the right attitude in her life. She probably didn't respond when someone treated her bad. She probably just went on and forgave them. You reckon? She heard us. You know, Lydia heard us. Lydia, who do you think Lydia really represents? Our soul. It represents our soul. It's been beaten and broken and bruised, okay? And we get beat down far enough, guess what we're going to do eventually? We're going to hear, and then we're going to start our course back up, okay? We're going to hear. Whose heart, and the word heart, look at the word there, cardia, talks about the mind. So her mind was what? Whose mind was the Lord opened, that she attended to the words, not things, but the words which were spoken of by Paul. So she heard Paul speak. She heard the Spirit of God speaking through him. Now, when someone hears someone say something, and I understand some people say it's splitting hairs, but when someone speaks, you should not hear that person speak. Who should you hear? You heard the Christ that's in that person speak. That's why Paul always says, not I, but the Christ within me. You hear what I'm saying? It's about the Christ speaking. I don't want you to hear what Dave's saying. I want you to hear what the Christ is saying through Dave. See, it's not about Dave, it's about the Christ. Hear what I'm saying through the Spirit. And if you can hear it in your spirit will say amen. If it don't, then don't worry about it. Verse 15, and when she was baptized in her household, she called to us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and abide there. And she not constrained us, but she compelled us. And it came to pass as we went to worship, not prayer again, but worship, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her master much profit by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the supreme God, not Most High, but the supreme God, which proclaim to you, not us, but to proclaim to you. Now this is this girl running around saying, they proclaim to you what? The way of deliverance. Salvation was already taken care of the day of the cross. They're telling you the good news. It's exactly what she's saying. But they're telling you, this is the way you get delivered. This is the way you change the way you think, by hearing what the Spirit of God is saying, not by the rules and regulations of laws. You cannot legislate honesty and truth. You cannot legislate righteousness. The church is trying to do the same thing that man is trying to do. Pass a law, it's illegal to do something. What will everybody do? Break the law. Just because they said they can't do it. I had an uncle, bless his heart, he was a case. He never smoked cigarettes in his life until they said cigarettes will kill you. He said, well, then if I kill me, I'll just go ahead and smoke them. And he started smoking cigarettes. He did it just to spite them. He said, I'll show you. He did die of cancer here recently, but he showed them. But people will do it just because you say, I can't. Why do you think so many people do drugs? Because it's a forbidden fruit. That's why they do it. Don't touch that tree in the middle. Okay. Straight to it. We all do it. It's the nature of humanity. But when we realize we're not humans, but we're spiritual beings having this human experience, guess what? We won't answer to that call of the flesh, will we? My sheep hear my own voice, or do I hear God's voice? You hear the voice of God, and guess what? You'll respond to that. You'll quit hearing that voice of the flesh. Okay? And if you do happen to make a mistake once in a while, that's what grace and mercy is all about. Don't worry about it. God will take care of it. I'm not telling you to go out and do what you want. I'm saying when you do make a mistake, God died for that reason. He sent His Son here for that reason. And the word salvation there is literally deliverance. And verse 18, and this she did many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the nature and the character or the authority of Jesus the Anointed to come out of her. And not he, but it came out the same hour or at the same moment. And when her master saw, let me stop here a minute. This thing about demons, everybody gets caught up on it, and I want to say something about it. Demons are just thoughts. If you think something to be true, the Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. If I think there's demons, guess what my mind's going to tell me? We have that those cherubim in our minds, the things that can make all those abilities to imagine things, those images. And if I think there's something going on, guess what? It's going on in my mind. It may not be anywhere else. Why do we think we call people delusional when they'll say, oh, I see snakes and spiders crawling on the walls and there's nothing there? Their mind is real to them, isn't it? And it's the same thing with us. When that carnal mind, the devil, the accuser of the brethren, turns his thought processes loose, his messengers, his angels, guess what? That's what we come up with. And see, we've tried to literalize all this stuff, and it's nothing more than getting the mind right. If we get our mind right, and shut up, Teresa. She'll hear that one. You got to get your mind right. You got to get out of this thinking process of mixing natural with spiritual, because we're not natural. We are spiritual beings. Having a human experience is all we're doing. And we're learning in this process. And as long as we mix this up, wouldn't mixture be duality? Wouldn't mixture be confusion? We're trying to eliminate all that confusing stuff. And all the church world is doing is giving us all that back right on top of us. We don't need that. We need to be delivered from all that confusion. And this did she many days, in verse 18, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the nature and the authority of Jesus the Anointed to come out of her, and it came out the same hour. And when her master saw that the hope of their prophet was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and drew them to the marketplace to the rulers, and brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble the city. And they proclaim, not teach, but they proclaim publicly the customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. Now, notice how they did it. They did it publicly. They never went in the church room and closed in the back door of the church and talked about secret understandings, did they? They proclaimed it publicly. Acts 27 says it three times. I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. What right do I have, or what right does any preacher, male or female, no priest, no anybody else, has the right to only give you part of the message? They need to give you the whole message so that the Spirit of God can work it out in you. True or false? You got to hear the whole message, not just part of it. And they're just giving you pieces of it that they want to tell you so they can manipulate you and control you. Not the way it should be. And being Romans or natural people, we just want to hear things that they don't want to hear, things that's contrary to what they want to hear. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent their clothes and commanded them to beat them. To beat them with rods. Now, what do you think this parallels today? The church system. If you come teach anything contrary to what the accepted story is, what do they do to you? They excommunicate you, run you off. And who tells you to get away from people like that? The magistrates, the leaders. You know why the leaders tell you that? Because they're afraid they're going to lose you. Afraid to lose your bank account. That's what it is. That's all it is. It's all about the money. And when they had laid many, not stripes, but wounds upon them, they cast him into prison, charging the jailer to keep them securely. And one thing they don't want you getting out. They don't want the words of the Spirit out. If you're truly a spiritual man and you've been really born again by the Word of God, a true spiritual man, not went through the doctrines and traditions of men saying, I'm born again, because they don't even know what it means. But it does mean you're born again by the Word of God, the incorruptible seed, not by man's tradition that they teach. So it said, when they did this and keep them secure, they don't want you to get out, because if you get out, what might happen? You might pervert someone else into the truth. They don't want you getting that truth out. And I'll tell you, I'm not surprised a bit, but I've talked to a lot of preachers, and they would say, but brother, do you realize what this will do to the church? And I said, yeah, it'll blow the doors right off of it, just like it should be. God's truth, God never said anywhere, build a building and gather up a bunch of people. A building we meet in is just a place for a convenience to get in and out of the weather, where we can sit comfortably and talk and not be distracted, but not a place of something holy. This building ain't holy. The Vatican ain't holy. The Jewish synagogues ain't holy. The Baptist churches ain't holy. They're the farthest thing from holy you could get. Aren't they? The only thing holy is the people. And that's because God sent His Son and died on a tree that they're holy. Not because of something they did. You can't earn it. It's a free gift. Okay. Verse 24. Who having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet secure in the stocks. Notice they didn't lock their hands up, they locked their feet up. They tried to hinder their lifestyle. They don't want you walking out there and let people see you overcoming in this life, because then it makes someone else have the encouragement to think they can do it too, wouldn't they? They don't want you to do that. Boy, you mess everything up. And at midnight, or right in the midst of the darkness, Paul and Silas worshipped, not prayed, they worshipped, and sang praises to God, and the prisoners listened to them. Whoa, did you hear what happened? While they were all locked up, the prisoners, the other people that was locked up, began to listen to them. Do you know what happened then? There was a great earthquake. You know where that earthquake was at? Just like in the book of Revelation, it was right between their ears. They heard what Paul and Silas was saying. They heard the Spirit of God speaking through those two men. And when their ears were opened, there was a great earthquake. And what are we made out of? Earth. At the foundations of the prison. And the foundation of the prison is between your ears, the carnal mind. That's the very foundation that's keeping you locked up, and every other person on the face of this earth is locked up because of the way we think. There's the prison doors. There's the prison bars. There's the prison walls. It's in our thinking process. And as soon as you hear this truth, guess what? The foundation crumbles. If the foundation crumbles under something, what happens to the rest of it? It's going to fall down too. And right there was the beginning of setting creation free. Right there. There's the beginning of it. They're coming out now. And it was only by Paul and Silas, which represents the Spirit of God, the Christ. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were destroyed. Not shaken, but destroyed, is what it says. And immediately, all the doors were open. How many people's free? Didn't it say when Jesus went into the bowels of the earth, he took captivity captive and brought them back? Did he say he left any of them in there? Do you think anybody didn't want to go with him? And everyone's bands were loosed. How many? If that ain't reconciliation, what is it? And I can say ain't, because I'm hillbilly. Everyone was loosed. And the keeper of the prison, that's the carnal mind, that's that old devil they talk about, waking out of his sleep and seeing that the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do no harm to yourself, because we are all here. And you know what that word all means? It's not just the word pos, it's the word hapos. Hapos, which means absolutely all here. We're all, absolutely all of us here. We ain't running just because we're free. I'm not going to run and hide in the mountains because I'm free. If I'm free, I'm not afraid of anything. I don't have to go anywhere. I just am. Like he said, I am that I am. Whatever I need, he is. Correct?
When you're free in your mind, you are.
When you're free in your mind, you are free. Then he called for a light. I think he's asking for Christ to come, huh? And came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. He saw the Spirit of God in them. And brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do in order that I be saved or be delivered? It's the word sozo. Okay? How can I be just like you? Just like I said a while ago, that's why they locked their feet up. They didn't want to see their lifestyle walking around doing this free stuff, because then they couldn't control you anymore. And they said, they being who? Paul and Silas, speaking for the Spirit, believe not on, but into the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus the Anointed, and you shall be delivered and your family. And your family. And they spoke to him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his family. And he received them the same hour of the night. He didn't take them. He received them the same hour of the night. He received what they had to say. You hear what I'm saying? If you receive what God says, it's going to change your life totally. And washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all of his family, immediately. And when he had brought them to his house, he set what? He set food on the table before them, rejoicing and believing in God with all of his family. And when it was day, the magistrate sent the sergeant, saying, let those men go. And the jailer told this saying to Paul, and the magistrates have sent to let you go. Now therefore depart and go in peace. But Paul said to them, they have beaten us publicly without a legal trial, is what it should say, being Romans, and have cast us into prison. And now do they thrust us out privately? No, indeed, but let them come themselves and lead us out. Does that sound like someone's intimidated? He's been beaten and thrown in prison. He said, no, you ain't going to pull that deal on us. You beat us for no reason, and you're going to make public that you didn't do it right. Now, he's not judging him. He's not getting revenge, is he? He's just saying, wait a minute, if you took me out here publicly and beat me, you're going to publicly bring me out. Is there anything wrong with that? I think what Paul was doing was exposing the hypocrisy of these magistrates. Wouldn't you agree with that? They couldn't conceal it any longer. He's exposing it. And see, there's nothing wrong with exposing. I've been guilty of saying things. People say, well, you're condemning somebody, or you're judging. No, I'm not. I'm exposing it. Jesus constantly exposed the hypocrites, the Pharisees. He called them snakes and serpents and liars and thieves, didn't he? And murderers. He told them the truth. It wasn't a lie. It wasn't to hurt them. It was to expose what they were hiding. And God said he was going to expose everything that's hidden, didn't he? And he can use anybody to expose it. Lois and I have talked for years. It's amazing how somebody can think they can get by with something. They'll kill somebody and bury a body in a place where no one's been for 100 years besides them, and somebody will trip right over top of it. God has a way of exposing everything that we do. You can't get away with anything. You're only kidding yourself. And the sergeants told these words to the magistrates, and they feared. Whoa. You know what happens? When they really find out who you are, they will be afraid to mess with you. No. And you know, the book does say, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. When you get someone that God is working through and in, and start trying to hurt them when God doesn't want it done, there's only one alternative, isn't there? It's going to backlash on you. It's going to backlash on you. So you should leave people alone, whether you agree with them or not. Just let them go. And they came, verse 39, and called them near and led them out and desired them to depart out of the city. And religion would love to get the prophets and the spiritual people just to get out of the city. Go away and leave us alone. Let us just be in our misery by ourselves. But you know what? It's not going to happen. And verse 40, it says, and they went out of the prison, entered into the house of Lydia. There was their friend, wasn't it? Their sister. And when they had seen the brethren, they consoled them, and then they departed. You know why? Because they got another mission. They got someplace else to go. They got someplace else to go. And it's always that way. We're always going to be traveling. We're always going to be going somewhere. Always talking to someone. Any questions or comments?